Everyone's asleep.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. It's a listener-supported broadcast. Please go to the homepage, TheVinnieEastwoodShow.com, and make a donation or start up an automatic payment in the accounts today to ensure that this kind of broadcast continues. We produce it without your help in the first place, but in order to continue simply paying rent and whatnot, we kind of do need your help, so please do so. My very special guest today, offering us an exclusive viewpoint on New Zealand politics, is none other than Paul Carruthers. Welcome to the show, mate.
G'day, Vinny. How are you doing?
I mean, it's somewhat fabulous. It's my standard response, but you know that. Okay, so Alan Hubbard is basically your speciality in terms of New Zealand corruption, probably the biggest corrupt case in New Zealand history for a long, long time, and also the media cover-ups of it and whatnot. Now, there's been recent developments on this story. Can you fill us in, please?
Yeah, yesterday it was in the news from a few different sources that a company called Scales Corporation, which used to belong to Alan Hubbard, was listed on the stock exchange, and basically the guy who bought it in the receivership just held on to it for about 18 months and then listed it on the stock exchange and effectively sold all the shares in it. And made an absolute fortune out of it too. Now, there's a lot of background to this, which I think would, for your listeners, that they should have a good look at. The first thing is that the Scales Corporation was originally a shipping company, and Alan Hubbard, over a period of decades, turned it into basically New Zealand's largest apple exporter, right, or fruit exporter. And initially, it started, way back at the turn of the century. Scales Corporation was actually, it was a company that a bunch of wool growers and wool exporters developed it was a mechanism by which they could export their wool to England and Europe. And then it became a shipping company, and then Alan Hubbard, over a period of time, turned it into basically New Zealand's largest apple exporter. And so it was a very, very successful company. And how this came about is that we have done Official Information Act requests which prove beyond any doubt that the government put pressure on Alan Hubbard. When they renewed the Crown Guarantee for South Canterbury Finance, they put pressure on Alan Hubbard to tip some of his own companies into South Canterbury Finance to provide, you know, as an act of good faith, to provide some security for the Crown and for the taxpayer against their liability. Now, what people need to understand about this whole situation before I go any further is this, okay? the Crown was involved with South Canterbury Finance from the day after John Key and Bill English, from the day after the National Party took office in 2008. They were advised by the Reserve Bank not to renew the Crown guarantee on South Canterbury Finance. Right? This is something really important the public of this country need to understand. The government is presenting, John Key and Bill English are presenting this whole issue as if it was a fait accompli, or in other words, unavoidable. That is an absolute lie, and it's a complete and utter load of crap. The documented, absolutely irrefutable documented evidence proves beyond any doubt that they were advised by the Reserve Bank not to renew the Crown guarantee on South Canterbury Finance. And the governor of the Reserve Bank at the time, Bollard, actually, I've read the email myself, and it says, and it was to Treasury, which was indirectly to Bill English, right? The email said, Alan Hubbard's a good man. He's been at it for 63 years. If he can't make South Canterbury Finance work, nobody can. Don't renew the Crown guarantee. It's not too big to fail. If it does, if he can't save it and it does tip over, it is not too big to, it won't do as much harm to the New Zealand economy as you think. So my advice would not be to renew. Well, Bill English now that was the day after Bill English took office in 2008. Bill English completely ignored that advice. Now, what I want to know is who influenced Bill English to renew the Crown guarantee against the governor of the Reserve Bank's advice first, okay? When they renewed the Crown guarantee against the Reserve Bank governor's advice, they then got Treasury to put pressure on Alan Hubbard to tip some of his own companies into South Canterbury Finance as an act of good faith, which he did without question. Okay, now here's an important point for the New Zealand public. Listen to this carefully. By doing that, Alan Hubbard became the only finance company director in the world. Listen to me. The only finance company director in the world who put his own assets in to back the government guarantee on his company. Right? That is a really, really important distinction for the public to understand. So he did that without question. He gave the government, Scales Corporation, well, he didn't give the government, he gave South Canterbury Finance, Scales Corporation, very successful company, Helicopters New Zealand, the most successful helicopter leasing company in Australasia, certainly probably one of the most successful in the world, right? Alan Hubbard built up Helicopters New Zealand over a period of decades. And I think there's one or two other companies that he tipped in as well. Okay? Now, once they'd actually got those companies, the day after Alan Hubbard, after that deal was signed, and I can even show you the emails from Treasury, which indicated a lot of anxiety around this. You can actually see, when you do an Official Information Act request, you can see the emails clearly are going, oh, we hope he tips them in. Oh, we hope he does it. Oh, it's really important. He's got it. You know, we need this signed off. We've got to get him to sign it. We can't do anything until he's actually signed and agreed to this. And the day after he signed his companies over, the anonymous complaint appeared out of the blue to the Securities Commission, accusing him effectively of fraud. Okay? And that's what sparked the investigation into him. Now, New Zealand, listen. This happened 2 years. This was in 2010 by this stage. This happened 2 years after the Crown first got involved with South Canterbury Finance. As soon as Bill English renewed the Crown guarantee, they put their own directors in on the board, and they put their own Treasury staff in there, fossicking around, having a look around. So when you might think that all of this thing about Alan Hubbard, all the fraud accusations and all the rest of it, suddenly sprang up out of nowhere. They didn't. This was meticulously planned for 2 years before they actually made the move and went public and said, this guy's guilty of fraud. Now,
can I interject something here? Penny Bright and myself went to the Auckland City Library to look back of a backlog of New Zealand Herald articles. This was back during that big campaign against Winston Peters. You know, Winston Peters is corrupt, Winston Peters doesn't answer questions or whatever. And it was day after day, day in, day out, positive mentions of John Key, negative mentions of Helen Clark, and accusations of corruption against Winston Peters. However, after 6 months of investigation, they found what? Nothing. Not a freaking thing. And the reason why I'm mentioning this is because it's an example of how the media in this country works in coalition with corrupt officials. Sorry, go ahead.
I can tell you from personal experience, the mainstream media is absolutely corrupt in this country, and they are complicit. And I'll tell you what, having known Alan personally and spoken to him for hours and hours and hours, we spoke on an average of probably about 2 hours at least every 10 to 14 days for the 15 months between when he was first accused and when he was killed, right? I know his side of the story intimately well, okay? And I can tell you now, the media are absolutely complicit in spinning the story the way John Key and Bill English wanted it to be told. That guy has been completely denied anything remotely resembling a fair trial. Didn't even get close to a courtroom. He was killed 2 days before he was due in court in the case he took against the Crown to challenge what they were doing to him. Okay? And it was said to me all the way through it, John Key will never put Alan Hubbard in a courtroom because it will be political suicide. Well, didn't that prove to be true? Okay? So the bottom line is, the day after Alan Hubbard tipped his companies in and agreed to do that without question as an act of good faith, this anonymous complaint appeared. Now, what people need to understand, as I've just said to you, is that the government already had 2 years of involvement with South Canterbury Finance in there fossicking around to see what was going on before they accused him of fraud and before they moved and made such a big public song and dance. So any question I'll ask you is this, New Zealanders, what is the fastest way to destroy the value of a company? What is the fastest possible way to drive down the value of its assets? The answer to that question is to publicly announce that it is in distress. To publicly announce something like, the owner of this company, we think he's guilty of fraud, or we think the company's in trouble. There is no faster way to destroy the value of the assets. So why, after 2 years, and after getting Alan Hubbard to tip his most valuable assets into that company, the day after he did that, they moved on him? And they made such a public spectacle people need to think about the process they used here. Think about this. They accused him of fraud before they even started their investigation. How does that work? And people didn't even question it. And I'll tell you the reason why people didn't question it. And New Zealanders need to do some hardcore self-examination over this. Because my opinion is that because this man was a finance company director, the majority of people immediately defaulted to a position of, oh, well, yeah, but he is a finance company director and shit, we really need to get them. We really need to nail those buggers. So let's not think about the fact that the process they're using is completely back to front or completely unfair. He's a finance company director. We don't need to know anything else. And that is exactly how John Key has got away with completely taking the whole lot of you to the cleaners. He has effectively taken $1 billion of your taxpayer money and divvied it up amongst his mates and said, here you go, guys, have a free-for-all with this. And you people are all asleep. You think somehow, oh, yeah, but wasn't Alan Hubbard, you know, now, wasn't he a bit doddery? Wasn't he a bit this? Well, that's what the media told you. That's what the government wanted you to think.
The reality is, Alan Hubbard's an incredibly intelligent man, incredibly moral, incredibly ethical, and he has the capacity to run nearly any company into the sky and not the ground. I mean,
Simon Power resigned from his portfolio as Justice Minister, and if you want my honest opinion, that man resigned because when he understood the scale of what he had effectively initiated, because it was him that they got to do it, he went to the Governor-General and got an order in council from the Governor-General to put Alan Hubbard into statutory management. Now, listen to this carefully, New Zealanders. He did this without going anywhere near a courtroom. Alan Hubbard had his assets seized, frozen and seized and sold out from under him without one single court order, one single warrant in place. What I need to know is this. Why did they go to the Governor-General to get a piece of paper to approve doing this to Alan Hubbard, and why did they completely bypass the court system? And I'll tell you this. This is John Key's weakest link. He's actually weaker on this than he is with Kim.com. If anybody chooses to go and do an investigation in this, it will start unravelling very quickly. John Key's side of the story will start unravelling very, very quickly. And I have just done my head in, mate, trying to get Kiwis to wake up and understand this one simple point. If you want to know how to take John Key down, if you want to know how to finish that man off, if you want to know what his Achilles heel is, it is the process he used against Alan Hubbard. And it's really simple. Simon Power got authority from the Governor-General to seize Alan Hubbard's assets without going anywhere near a courtroom, and the law he used to do it was the Corporate Investigations and Management Act 1989. Now, by its nature and by its name, the Corporate Investigations and Management Act, right, can only be applied to corporations, and that is why Simon Power went outside the court system to get approval from the governor. So effectively, John Key set the Governor-General up. The Governor-General is actually just as exposed on this issue as Simon Power and everybody else.
Would I be able to make a point here, Paul, because what this reminds me of, I was watching a film the other night called Welcome to the Punch about police corruption in London.
Hang on, before you go any further, I've got to finish this point, mate, because it is really, really important. It's about the Corporate Investigations and Management Act. So not only is it supposed to apply to corporations and not people, so think this through, people. They applied it to Alan Hubbard personally and seized all his assets. Alan Hubbard is not a corporation. He was a person. They seized all of his private assets. So not only that, but when you read the Corporate Investigations and Management Act, it clearly states the purpose of this act is to protect the investors and to preserve the interests of the company. Now think this through. How does accusing the owner of the company publicly of fraud before you even start an investigation, thereby completely destroying the value of the company in the public eye, driving down the value of its assets, and ending up absolutely unavoidably creating the situation where they have to fire sale off the assets at 25 cents in the dollar or less, how does that preserve the company and how does that protect the interests of the investors? It doesn't. So not only was the law that they applied wrong, it was applied unlawfully, but not only that, the intent of the law completely missed the mark by a country mile. Do you understand that?
Well, what I'm saying is that this is not like an accident. Oh, he just wasn't following any proper procedure. They're criminals, all right? And they're criminal scum engaging in a conspiracy. It can't be any more simple. And the point I was going to make before is about this film, Welcome to the Punch, about London police corruption. There was a top police officer who was running guns and things like that, and one of his lower downs actually caught him out on it, and he asked him, what are you going to get for that, okay? Are they going to make you the next police commissioner for covering this up, that kind of thing? And guess what happened with Simon Power after he did all of this illegal chicanery? Well, he became the head of Westpac Corporate Banking, straight out of Parliament, mate, and guess who was the prime beneficiary in the receivership of South Canterbury Finance?
The government's bank is the Westpac Bank, right? The Westpac Bank was one of the single biggest beneficiaries of the taxpayer-funded bailout. In other words, the difference between what they sold the assets for, the amount of money they sold the assets for, and what was owed on them to the banks, right, was the shortfall, in other words, had to be stumped up by the taxpayer, right? And Simon Power initiated all of this by getting this order in council from the Governor-General, bypassing the courts to put Alan Hubbard in this situation. Now, what you've got to understand, New Zealanders, is John Key needs Alan Hubbard to look like he was guilty. John Key needs Alan Hubbard to be the fall guy for this, because he's got to justify to you why he's just ripped up $1 billion of your money, paying out the shortfall to the banks on the sale of the assets to his mates. And who bought the assets? That's what this is about. That's what today is about. Yesterday they announced that Scales Corporation, right, was sold on the stock exchange, and they raised $149 million. Well, let's give you a bit of background into that. I've already told you that the government put pressure on Alan Hubbard to tip that into South Canterbury Finance, Scales Corporation, and so he did that. Then they called him a fraud, and South Canterbury Finance collapsed as a result. Okay? And where they had everybody in the country thinking Alan Hubbard was, oh, maybe this guy is a fraud, maybe this is all inevitable, according to John Key, you know, he's completely bogus. John Key, I'll tell you how corrupt this whole investigation, this whole situation is. There is a video recording on TVNZ's archives of John Key walking out onto the steps of Parliament the day that the receivership was announced, and this is the exact phrase he used. He stood in the steps of Parliament on TVNZ One News and said this exact phrase: "Alan Hubbard is completely Alan Hubbard completely bankrupted that company." That is the exact phrase he used. Now, here's the thing, New Zealand: John Key said that 9 months before Alan Hubbard was even charged with fraud. Now, if you don't understand the implications of that, then I won't insult anybody, but you'd have to be pretty silly if you didn't understand what that actually meant in real terms. What that meant was the Prime Minister went out on national television and directly influenced public opinion on a matter that was still under investigation. Why did he do that? That was go and do your research. That was 9 months before Alan Hubbard was even charged with fraud. Now, John Key has never been held to account for that. And Alan Hubbard never quite made it into the courtroom, did he? He was killed before he actually got to court to prove himself innocent. And within less than a week after he was killed, the government had all of his medical records sealed, and including his autopsy report, as well as all of the evidence that Alan Hubbard and his lawyers had amassed against the government, against the Crown, was sealed at the Crown's request by the courts, meaning basically no one's allowed to know what it contained. So the government had any evidence against itself shut down as soon as Alan Hubbard was killed. Why did they do that? You know,
the answer's obvious.
Going back to Scales Corporation, right? There it was yesterday, sold for $149 million. Well, listen up, New Zealand, because I know a lot of people out there don't appear to have very long attention spans, but please, for goodness sake, listen to this, right? Scales Corporation was sold by the receivers to a guy called Ross George, that owns a company called Direct Capital Limited. Now, Ross George, Direct Capital Limited, bought 79.71% of Scales Corporation, right, from the receivers of South Canterbury Finance for, $44 million he paid for it, $44 million. The remaining 20-something percent of Scales Corporation was taken up by the ACC and the New Zealand Superannuation Fund. So first things first, you have a situation here where a man's assets were seized and sold by the Crown, and 20% of one of those assets was effectively gifted to two Crown entities, ACC and New Zealand Superannuation, without a court order, without a warrant, and without a trial. Now, even a drug dealer gets more protection by the courts than that, for a start. Okay? So this guy, Direct Capital, Ross George, bought the 80% of this 80% of this company in round figures for $44 million. That particular year that he bought it, Scales Corporation made a profit, I think, of $74 million. So this is a company that was worth easily $70-plus million on the year that he bought it, and he paid $44 million. How does that work? Right? He then keeps it for, what, 18 months or so? And he lists it on the stock exchange and sells it yesterday for $149 million. Well, who is Direct Capital? Direct Capital is majority owned by Mr. Ross George. What is Mr. Ross George's address? Mr. Ross George lives at 105 St. Stephen's Avenue, Parnell. Who lives at 104 St. Stephen's Avenue, Parnell? John Key. So this is his direct neighbour, lives right across the road, bought one of Alan Hubbard's companies out of the receivership for $44 million, way under its market value, and then he keeps it for a while and he lists it on the stock exchange and walks away with $149 million. And Alan Hubbard is in the process, according to Fairfax Media, their court reporting of the case in Timaru, against the other directors. Right, and that raises a whole another point. How many of you remember the sort of like the if you cast your mind back, they sort of spent 15 months sticking it to Alan Hubbard in the newspapers left, right, and centre. It started out with them calling him the Ponzi scheme and all this sort of stuff, and you know, before they even started their investigation, they were already calling it a Ponzi scheme. That should have made alarm bells go off for absolutely everybody, but. Somehow they got away with it because people were just asleep.
Unfortunately, right? Paul, we've run out of time here today. We have about 20 or 30 seconds left to make rounding points, if you wish.
Go and do your research, people. Do not take this lying down. Stop being passive about it. For God's sake, wake up. John Key's just given $1 billion of your money away to his mates, and none of you really care about it because you're so busy hating finance company directors that you're not really interested in the facts. My advice to you is start taking interest in the facts. Wake up. You're being screwed.
That's right. Thank you very much, Paul Carruthers. Ladies and gentlemen, we will see you after the break at the VinnieEastwoodShow.com.